the words of the prayer are so meaningful and really resonated with me this morning. And the thought that occurred to me is our prayer is that the Lord would bless us to bless Him this morning, right? That we realize that we're called, and our effort this morning is to give Him glory and honor and praise and bless His holy, righteous, and reverend name. And yet that it requires Him to bless us in order for us to be able to do that. And so to pray that the Lord would bless us, that we might be able to bless Him. The Lord is sovereign. So I suppose because He's sovereign, He'll never be lacking a blessing. But since He's sovereign, I suppose, Sister Marilyn, He could bless Himself, right? But the Lord has raised us to bless Him, and then it's to Him that we look to bless us with that privilege and with the faculty and with the appointment and the anointment to bless Him. And so we have a time this morning set aside. And I can tell you this, if we didn't have the time set aside, I don't think we all would have been here this morning. It was important that we said, we're going to set aside a time. And on Sundays at 10:30 to noon, we're going to be in this place. And we made that determination, that decision. If we hadn't set aside that time and we didn't respect that time, this is a sweet place. And I've mentioned before, there have been times I've been here when you weren't and it was still sweet. There have been times when you've been here and no one else has been here, and I trust that it's been sweet to you. But imagine if every time that you came to Little Vine Primitive Baptist Church, it was just you. It would still be sweet, but it's a blessing to come at this appointed time and see that, oh, my brothers and my sisters, they appointed this same time. And so we have a time and we have a place. And just about any time anybody talks about the church, they go, now it's not the building. And we know it's not the building. But what a blessing for the building. What a blessing that there's a place. Because God could say, you know, the kingdom is within you, it's spiritual, and I'll meet with you and you meet with me. But Sister Marilyn, on top of that, He's given us a place, literally this place, these walls, that's set aside for this place and for this purpose. And so I'm thankful for the time and the place and the people and the provision, right, that God has promised to meet with us in this place and shed His glories round about the place, and to see Him and His willingness to meet with us. So we're a blessed people, and out of that blessing, we are able to bless Him. I want to consider with you this morning a passage of scripture in the book of Luke, in the first chapter of the book of Luke. And so if you want to turn while you're turning, I'll share that I want to consider a portion of this first chapter of Luke that is commonly called the Magnificent. Have you ever heard that? The Magnificent? Okay. It's a prayer that Mary offers up, I think it's fair to say it's a prayer, but you could probably also call it a song, a statement, a psalm. It's Brother Ben, I think we could even call this a doxology, right? Like a New Testament doxology. And like we said about doxology before, it's a collection of words that are dedicated to God's glory. That when you read them, you say, He is great and greatly to be praised, which is another doxology. But here in this doxology that Mary offers up, and sweet to think of these words and consider what she said, but think about the context of like where she was when she said them. The great, how reasonable it would have been for her to feel so uncertain and so afraid and confused. And yet in that very precarious place, the Lord blessed her to bless Him. Right? That's what happened. She blessed Him in this doxological way, and she couldn't have done that if He hadn't blessed her. And one thing that we can say, Sister Katie, about this Sister Mary is she's blessed. She was blessed to know these things. She was blessed to say these things. And it's okay for us to say she was blessed. What we need to appreciate is that the blessing that she had in this moment is a blessing that's not alien to you. It's a blessing that can be yours and a blessing that has been yours. And in this doxology, Mary, the reason why it's called the Magnificat is that in this prayer and in this doxology, she magnifies the Lord. Now, what's interesting about magnification is it's kind of like, you know, when you think of a microscope and a telescope, how those work. Okay, a microscope doesn't make a small thing bigger, and a telescope doesn't make something very far very close. And a magnifying glass doesn't make something bigger. Okay? But what a magnifying glass does is it makes something look bigger. Okay? And once it looks bigger, then we can appreciate it better. That's why you use a magnifying glass. Some people use a magnifying glass to read. And without it, the words are still there. Like the magnifying glass doesn't make the words be there. But the magnifying glass makes it where we can tell the difference between a B and a D, right? Or an O and a D, right? And so it makes things more clear. And then once things are more clear, then we can see what was on the page all along. When some of us, we need our magnifiers so much, we bolted them onto our face, right? Like we wear magnifying glasses on our face so that everything we need magnified will be magnified. Some of us, part of it is magnified more than the other, right? So there's a need for magnification, but magnification doesn't make something be, and it doesn't make anything bigger. But we probably could say it makes some things better, right? Because I can see better. There are things that without a microscope we wouldn't appreciate, but they're still very much there. There's things that we can't really appreciate without a telescope, but they're very much there. And we live in a day and age where microscopes are better than they've ever been before. And telescopes are better than they've ever been before. And there's things out there that we might have believed they were out there, but you couldn't see that they were out there. And now you can see wondrous things that are out there. And you can take a telescope and point it to a black part of the sky and realize there's something there that you can't see and appreciate without a telescope. There's things all around us maybe we don't want to see with a microscope, but if you look at a microscope, you realize, wow, this world is alive, right? There are things all around us. So there's no accident that this word magnify in the sense of it is here, and that what Mary feels is that her soul is not responsible for God. God is responsible for her soul. But God has blessed her and her soul to magnify the Lord. The Lord's been magnified unto her. And I think she's willing to say it's a spiritual experience for the Lord to be magnified. Okay? God isn't magnified with our carnal mind, with our intellectual human reason. God isn't even magnified by our optics that we wear on our eyes. But we've been given a great spiritual faculty, an eye of faith that can see things. And I think even that eye of faith that we have that can see things, there's times, Brother Jimmy, it benefits from the aid of a magnifying glass. Because you are alive. You have spiritual life. And you have never, once that life is born within, you'll never be spiritually dead. You'll never die. That's the promise that Jesus Christ gave. It's a promise that he's kept, and that you that is alive within you, that will never die and will live on in heaven in immortal glory. So that never departs from us, and yet sometimes we see things even spiritually more clearly than other times. And I think there's times that things, spiritual things, are magnified unto us. And so what we see in Mary is she's blessed to believe. And she's blessed in believing. There's a third category that the world likes, and that's blessed for believing. Okay. What I'll tell you is, The Word of God says a lot more about being blessed to believe and being blessed in believing than being blessed for believing. Okay? Because remember what magnification does. It doesn't make something be there. It makes something that's there manifest. Okay? So I pray this morning the Lord would bless us to bless Him and that we might magnify Him, that our souls might magnify the Lord. And then specifically, Brother David, I think there's one way, and in your prayer, you talked about this audacity of wanting to know more and believe more and see more. But you didn't say this audacity to believe, you said this audacity to believe more. So there's this understanding of like, we're just so blessed to believe, we're blessed to know, blessed to see. And then having been blessed in that place that we know He is, and know He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, I want to more diligently seek Him. Which means I might want to use a magnifying glass. When it comes to God, I might want to use a magnifying glass. When it comes to God, I might want to use a microscope. Because God works in very, very small things. I might want to use a telescope because some of the things that God has done are very, very far away and yet they're very, very sure. Do you think there's a heaven? Do you think our loved ones are there and they're praising God right now? I do. Do I think it's very real? Yes, I do. Do I have a sense it's kind of far away? I do. I don't think it's in the zip code, right? I think it's beyond the frame of this world. And yet, however far away it might be, and when I say it's far away, I want to reemphasize this. I believe it's a physical place. I believe it really exists. I don't believe it's just some think in our thinking, right? Like, it's a real place where God really is, and it may not be a material place like we see material things here. All I can say is what the Lord tells us about it. It is a glorious place. It's a glorified place, but it's a real place. And so, since it's a real place, Brother Dole, it really exists, and there is some... there's some place that it is, and that place is some distance from here. Okay. And I can't explain it or understand it, but I can tell you, I believe it really is, and I believe it's far away. And yet, there are some faculties that we've been given where something that's so far away can look a lot closer. Have you ever felt like heaven is closer? Like times, moments in your life where heaven feels closer than others? Sometimes it's when we're on the mountaintop, right? Sometimes it's where we feel like this must be what heaven must be like. There's times we feel His presence more presently. I think at funerals sometimes we feel like heaven is a little bit closer, right? Because there's a song, I think I shared this one time, there's a song that I didn't like very much until I understood it better, and then once I understood it better, I liked it a lot better. There's a couple of songs like that, right? One is Trust and Obey, right? I used to not like that very much because I guess I wasn't very good at trusting or obeying. But then you think about that song, you're like, there really is no other way to be happy in Him but to trust and obey. I thought, how dare they tell me I can't be happy without trusting and obeying, right? But we're called to trust and we're called to obey. But the song I'm talking about is I Am a Wayfaring Stranger, right? Because there's a part of that song that, to me, almost irreverently acted like heaven's just right there. Like, I'm just going over, my friends are there, my mother's there, my father's there, my classmates are there. It felt almost too common. And then, Sister Stephanie, I realized that's the point of the whole song, is I'm only going over Jordan, right? Like, to think about where we live and where heaven is, it seems like we got to go a long, long, long way. Like, it must take a long time to get from here to heaven. But you know what? It doesn't take a long time to get from here to heaven because the Lord takes us the moment we breathe out our last breath here. We're breathing life there. And the writer of that song had a sense of, like, this river. And, you know, I grew up with creeks more than rivers. Right? The bodies of water that I've seen, you could always see across. Like, if I couldn't see across a body of water, I'd say that was an ocean. Right? But I have, in my travels, I've seen some bodies of water that are really wide, really big. To where you could get out on that body of water and not see the other side. And when we think about the River Jordan and crossing over, right, and like how far we are from this world and the heaven's pure world, it could seem impassable. It could seem like troubling to us how great that river must be. But there's something in that song that says, I'm only going over Jordan. Right? And there's a sense when you talk about Jordan that they could see across it. They could see on the other side. And there's a blessing to see across Jordan and see the other side. So I think there's times like at funerals where we feel we're gathered by the riverside, right? Not for a baptism, but we're gathered there because we're mourning the loss of a loved one, but they've passed over. And there's part of us that needs to know when they've passed over that they haven't like passed into oblivion, right? And there was a time in my life I thought my grandparents were in heaven looking down on me. And I'm glad I got over that. What I'm going to say is some nonsense. It was nonsense for me. If it brings some comfort to someone, I don't want to discomfort anyone. But I can tell you, the reason I thought my grandparents were looking over me is to like keep me from doing wrong or catch me from doing. And I promise you, heaven is better than that. Right? Heaven is not a grand collection of ethereal policemen that look back on us and catch us doing wrong. Right? And I think, Brother Dole, when I get to heaven, I think I'm going to be looking one direction. I think it's going to be at my Savior. Amen. And I think it's not that I won't love you here or love my children or great-grandchildren. It's that I'll have perfect peace that the Lord has it, right? As a matter of fact, if you're in heaven and you're looking at Jesus, it's the best way you could look at your loved ones, right? Like Brother David doesn't have to look back and worry, because he can look at the face of his Savior and say, all is well, right? My wife is well, and my kids and my grandkids. So we can see that in heaven, looking to Jesus is a great deliverance, right? And there's really no need to look back, because they can be looking at the great deliverance that is Christ Jesus. But while they're not looking back, Sister Stephanie, we do get to look forward. Mm-hmm. From this side of the River Jordan, we can look across the River Jordan. I don't think once we cross Jordan, there's any glancing back. I don't think there's any Lot's wife in us at that moment that we say, oh, I sure long for what it was like to have an old, wretched, broke-down body. Right? I don't think we look back with any longing for what it would have been or what it was to be in this life. We're looking one direction. And so what I realize from that is, from this side of the River Jordan, we're looking across the River Jordan. We're looking toward heaven. And you're seeing the backs of those who have left and gone before, because they're looking the same direction you are. They're just on the other side of the river, right? And what that means is all of us, regardless of whether we're alive in this world or we've passed on, we are all looking the same direction, which means we have that in common. We have that fellowship. We're all looking together in the same direction, and that direction is in the direction of our Lord and our Savior. So we have the blessing of being able to see our Lord and our Savior, and some consolation of knowing that our loved ones, we're looking at them as well. And that's okay. It's okay to say, I'm only going over the River Jordan, and I've got a confidence my mother's there. I've got a confidence my classmates are there. People that went to Luling High School are there. How weird is that, right? But what that means is, if somebody from Luling can get to heaven, like, I could get to heaven, right? And the way that somebody from Luling gets to heaven, and the way this boy from Luling hopes to get to heaven, is by the imputed righteousness and shed blood of Jesus Christ. So we have a hope, we have a consolation, we have a comfort as we look, and then we could say, "As there have been times in my life I wondered, been times in my life I was scared, times I was afraid, times I fought it, but I'm on the banks of the River Jordan, and I can feel the dew of that river, and I'm looking across it, and it doesn't look so far anymore." Right? And if you've been with those that are about to pass over, their feeling is, it's just right there.
Right.
So what a blessing it is to see the, to be on the banks and to see the other banks and look in the same direction. What a blessing it is to see and to know. And so there is a blessing in that belief. Now, as we said, the Lord is sovereign, so he doesn't need us to bless him. But he's willing, Sister Katie, to allow us to bless him. And that's a great gift, that the Lord is willing to be blessed by us and that he's willing to position us in a blessed condition to be able to bless him. So here in the book of Luke chapter 1, and let's just start completely out of context, but with a verse that's going to be like, what a great place to start. Verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Right? Like, we could go back and talk about why that's there. And I guess we should, just so we understand the context for our little sister Mary. But it said in verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. Now, what's going to become really clear is that is true. Before we turn this page, we're going to have to agree that little sister is highly favored. Okay. The question is, why and how is she highly favored? Well, some might say, because she's going to give birth to our Savior. Well, clearly, there's a high favor in that. But there's a favor that's common to Sister Mary. And this is a time, again, where I don't think we need to see the magnitude of the blessing that the Lord gave to Mary in some unapproachable way, but rather the blessed condition that she was in that all of us can find ourselves in. Okay. And one of them is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Right? Like she was going to have the Redeemer in her very womb. Like that's incredible. Okay. But there's a promise that's been given to each and every one of us when we're born of the Spirit that we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. And I can tell you this, without God, it was impossible for that virgin to be with child. And I can say, without the same God, it would be similarly impossible for us to have Christ in us, the hope of glory, if God had not made it possible. It says, the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now, one of the things if I kept reading, I wouldn't even have to like spin my wheels a little bit, because right here the angel even says why she's highly favored. Does it say, Hail, thou art highly favored, for the Lord will be with thee, or the Lord will be in thee? No, it says, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Do you think that would make anyone highly favored that the Lord is with them? The answer is yes. If the Lord is with you, you are highly favored. Now, what that means is you're favored and favored in a big way. But you're also favored in an adjective or in an adverbial way. And that is from high. Okay, you're not just favored like laterally favored or horizontally favored. You're vertically favored. You're favored from on high. What kind of favor do you think that she had? She had a high favor, a favor from on high. And that was because the Lord was present with her. Thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. This is true anytime the Lord is with anyone, they are favored and they're favored highly because that's where God is. And God has come from on high to be with you. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou above women. Is that what it says? That's the way some people would quote it to you, but that's not what it says. Thou art blessed, blessed art thou among women. That means this is a blessing that can belong to a woman And the blessing of having in her womb the Messiah, that was a blessing reserved to her. That never happened to any other woman. But the blessing of the Lord being with her, that's a blessing that can be found among women. And it can be found among men. It can be found among little girls and little boys. And I'm thankful as a man that the Lord could be with a man. If I were a woman, I'd be thankful that the Lord could also be with a woman. I'm thankful to live in a culture where we believe God can have fellowship with men and women. I'm thankful to live in a church culture where we believe God can have fellowship with grown-ups and with children. Because we take that for granted, but there are places in this world where people don't believe women can have fellowship with God and God have fellowship with them. There are churches in this city that don't believe God has the same fellowship with little children that he does with grown-ups. But what a blessing that we have no reason to say, well, you got to put the children over here and, you know, God has to come meet with them in a different way. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And that also has to be true, because what did the angel already say? You are highly favored. And now we know not just that it was a high favor like in quantity, it was a high favor in quality, because he says, you have found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. Now, if we stop for just a moment and appreciate the literal timing of what we've been told here, is in verse 31, it says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb. Okay, that's future tense, which means at this moment she wasn't with child, right? She was a virgin, and she didn't yet even have the conception of the incarnate word of God. That hadn't happened, right? She had not yet conceived, which means everything that the angel said about her was in present tense. Thou hast found favor. The Lord is with thee. Doesn't say the Lord will be with you after you're conceived, or now that you're conceived, you're blessed among women. It said already you're blessed among women. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, one thing that had to mean something to little Sister Mary is the angel is telling her not only is a mighty favor upon you and that you're going to conceive in a way that no one's ever been conceived. There's never been a mother that's had the circumstances going to happen to you. But the angel tells us this is the fulfillment of all that's been prophesied. Right? Like she was a good Jewish woman and a young Jewish woman, but she had been raised to believe there was a Messiah coming and he would fulfill all the law and the prophets. And the angel is saying, this is that one. This is that one that shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now just in passing, I'll say here the angel has acknowledged two things. One is, a holy thing is going to be born of you. But you know what he said before that holy thing would be born of her? A holy thing would be conceived in her. Right? So there's a difference. And there's life at conception. Right? This is just another place where that's established in the Word of God. He would be conceived in her and he would be born. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. So another miracle, and another conception and birth that are two different things, and there's a space between. And we're going to find for John Baptist, there's actually activity between, right? There's life and vitality between conception and birth because he leaps for joy in his mother's womb. Now, you tell me the faculties that it takes to leap. I think it takes some legs. It takes some bones and some muscle and some sinew to leap. And to leap for joy, that takes some wherewithal, right? We're not talking about a collection of cells that are leaping. We're talking about a human being leaping for joy. It's got the physical capacity to leap, and it has the mental and spiritual capacity to have joy and to joy at the pronouncement of the coming of the Messiah. So all that happened between conception and birth, which I would have to say, it looks like right here, if you had it nowhere else, God watches over that place between conception and birth. And he cares about that place between conception and birth, and he can have a witness right there between conception and birth. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And that applied to her cousin, who was barren, and it applied to her, who was a virgin. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. You know, something that we could read over and probably not really appreciate is the angel just said, something miraculous is going to happen to you, and without God, it wouldn't be possible. And however hard to believe that was, the Lord also gave her something that made it easier to believe, and that is, you know your cousin, Elizabeth? Something that only God could do, God's done right there. And it seems, Sister Lee, that that must have been some encouragement to her because she was saying, I don't know about this. I'm afraid about it. I'm not sure about it. I'm uncertain about it. And he says, by the way, your cousin who was barren, she's about to bring forth the child. And then Mary says, behold, the handmaid of thy Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And you know why I think the angel departed from her? Because the angel was no longer necessary for Mary. Right? He didn't depart till she had that moment. But when she had that moment, then the angel of the Lord departed. She had been given that she stood in need of. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Now, that again sounded familiar to Sister Mary, right? Some reassurance. And the reason why Elizabeth could say that is if you go earlier in this first chapter of the book of Luke, the angel of the Lord had been dealing with Zacharias and with Elizabeth as well. She was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women. And you know, Mary had heard that before. Mary had heard an angel say, hail, thou art blessed among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And in verse 43, it says, and whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now, if I have a verse or a text this morning, that's it. Luke chapter 1, verse 45. And blessed is she that believed. Okay. Do you believe that's true? Blessed is she that believed. Well, clearly the angel said, you're blessed. You're blessed among women. Elizabeth says, you're blessed among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And this is Elizabeth's testimony that says, blessed is she that believed. And do you know who she's talking about? She's talking about Mary, right? So one thing we can say about Mary is, Mary believed. Now we know Mary believed because we can go back just a few verses and say, the angel told her. And then she said, whatever, like, I don't understand. I don't even have to understand. But I believe. Now, it is a blessing that Mary believed. Mary was blessed that she believed. And there were blessings in her believing. But I can tell you this. Mary didn't have to believe in order for all this to happen. Right? That she was the one, and that womb was the one, and that's where the Lord's Christ was going to be manifest. So, Jesus Christ being born of the Virgin Mary, it wasn't a blessing for her belief. Right? But she was blessed in believing it, and she was blessed to believe it. Now, we haven't even got through the whole verse 45, okay? Because there's a colon, and there's something really important about the blessing in belief. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now, that doesn't say these things are all going to come true because she believed. It's just the opposite. Because these things are going to happen, because the Lord is going to do what the Lord said, she's going to be blessed in believing it. What if she believed it and then the Lord didn't do it? Do you think she would be blessed in it? She'd probably be really frustrated. She'd probably be really confused. Like, I was told this was the way it was going to happen, that I was blessed, and then it didn't happen. The Lord gave me a promise and he didn't keep his promise. She would be confounded, right? The scriptural word is she would be ashamed. I hoped in the Lord. I believed him. I trusted him. And then he didn't do what he said he was going to do. And it wouldn't matter how strongly she believed it. If the Lord didn't do what he said he was going to do, it wouldn't matter how much she believed it. Which means the strength and the durability and the constancy and the consistency of the promise of God was not how much she believed it. It was how much he was going to keep it. God was going to do this thing that he promised. And because he was going to do the thing that he promised, it was a blessing for her to believe it. Now, this is true for Mary. It's true for Elizabeth. It's true for Zacharias. Everybody we've met in Luke chapter 1 up to this point have been blessed to believe. And every one of them, they're blessed to believe because the Lord kept his promise. Even when men said, are you sure you want to call his name John? He said, his name is John. Right? Like, I'm blessed because the Lord said his name is John. You sure you want to call him Jesus? His name shall be called Jesus. So, there's a blessing for the Lord to do what the Lord said he would do. And it's a blessing to Zachariah. It's a Zacharias. It's a blessing to Elizabeth. It's a blessing to Mary. And it's a blessing to Marilyn. And it's a blessing to Mike and Priscilla. It's a blessing to Richard and Holly. It's a blessing to me that the Lord does what the Lord said he'll do. So, blessed is she that believed. Blessed is he that believed. Blessed are you that believe. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told you from the Lord. Right? And it's not because you believe it so good. It's not because you're such a good believer. Because I can tell you this, I haven't been a great believer. There have been things that were great for me to believe. And I've been given great faculties by which I could believe great things. And Sister Stephanie, I still haven't been a great believer. There have been times that, without excuse, I didn't believe. I had no good reason. I didn't even have a bad reason. I had no reason not to believe. And yet, I found a way not to believe. And the devil loves that. The devil loves for you not to believe. Because what are you when you're not believing? You're not blessed. And the devil doesn't want to see you blessed. He wants to see you unblessed. You sneeze, the devil doesn't say bless you. He's not happy that you took another breath after your sneeze. The devil never said bless you to nobody. Right? But the devil wants to dispossess us of the blessing. And there's a blessing that comes in believing. Do you think she was blessed to believe that she was going to bring forth Jesus the Christ? And was she blessed in believing that? Was she blessed to believe it? Yes, she was. And the Lord kept everything up full performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And then Mary said, and so we got to 5 minutes to, this is what I said I'm going to talk about, so I was wrong. But we'll talk about it for 5 minutes. This is called the Magnificat because it's a statement and a song and a psalm and a doxology of Mary. And to me, it professes that she believes, and it professes that she was blessed in believing it, and she was blessed to believe it. And one of the things that she's going to say is, I'm a blessed little girl. I'm a blessed young woman. And she doesn't say that the measure of her blessing is how great that she is or how great that she believed. The blessing for her is that she knows, she's been brought to know, the Lord is going to do what he said he was going to do. And this is before Jesus was born. Right? And already, she says, my soul, it will magnify the Lord. No, she says, my soul doth magnify the Lord. So, if I don't get to it in the next 4 minutes, I want to at least put this out here, because this would be the takeaway. I don't know if it's the title of the sermon, Brother Michael, so we'll have to figure that out later. Right? But belief is a way to magnify the Lord. Right? And we should magnify the Lord with our belief. Our belief doesn't make something that wasn't there. Our belief doesn't make God do something for us. It doesn't obligate him to do anything for us. But believing something and believing what God has told us to believe, it is your way. It's not just a way. It's not just the way. Sister Katie, this is your way to magnify God. Because it was Mary's way to magnify God. I'm going to magnify him by believing him. She didn't say, I'm going to magnify the Lord by bringing forth the man-child, the Christ. She said, my soul doth magnify the Lord because I believe him. And she was blessed among women to believe him, and that her belief magnified the Lord. Anyone that is blessed to believe the Lord, they're blessed, and in believing, they magnify the Lord. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. Just stop right there. Has that ever been your blessing? That you could say, my soul doth magnify the Lord because he has regarded little old me? That's what Mary said. She didn't even get to the part where she's about to bear the Lord's Christ. She said, just the fact that the eternal, sovereign, creator God regarded his little handmaiden. My soul will magnify the Lord for that. Behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. We should call her blessed this morning. And the reason we should call her blessed this morning is she was blessed to believe. She's a picture of a believer. Abraham is a picture of a believer. He believed by faith. Mary is a picture of a believer. And you know how she believed what the Lord told her he would do? By the same faith Abraham had. And we can have and should thank God for the same blessing. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. Whoa, Mary, where did all that come from? So Mary's got like, she's telling the truth. And she's telling the truth not just about her condition. She's been given an eye to see some things. And it's not unlike Hebrews chapter 11, where you have this chronicle of people that, you know, withstood, overthrew kingdoms and shut the mouth of lions. She's saying, this is a God that hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. Now that's the other thing I wanted to get to today, so I'm glad I beat the clock this far. Okay. That word holpen is interesting, right? What is, if you just read it, what do you think it means? That he's holpen them. Well, it certainly feels like it should mean that he helped them, right? But I wonder why it doesn't just say he helped them, right? Holpen kind of sounds like what a Texan might say, you know, like when we say something tumps over, that's it gets turned over and dumped out. Yeah. And so you take the turn and the dump and it becomes tump. All right. This word holpen, okay, and I'm not telling you this exactly how it works, but this is the meaning of it, right? The Greek word that's transliterated to holpen basically means to grab hold of and help. All right. So this isn't just that you've been helped. You've been held, taken hold of, and helped. And it's like, what would you say if the Lord took a hold of you and helped you other than, he holpened me? The Lord holpens you, right? He doesn't like help you from afar off. He's there, present, holding you. And while he's holding you, he's helping you. And it makes me really glad, Brother David, that there's a word called holpen. That he can hold me and help me. Not just hold me and say, I can't do anything about it. He can hold me and help me. And not just help me from afar, but he can be right there. It's a sweeter word to me than it was before I looked up what it meant. Right? Because it doesn't just mean help. It means to hold and to help. Take hold of and help. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And that's the end of the Magnificat. So I'll stop there. But just to realize, and there were other places I wanted to go this morning, but Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 4 talks about belief and how it works. 1 Kings, when Solomon was dedicating the temple there, he said, God has not failed in one word of his promise. He's kept his promise. And that's why we're blessed. We're blessed because God kept his promise. We're blessed because God gave us a promise. And we're blessed to know the promise. We're blessed to trust the promise. We're blessed to believe the promise. We're blessed to believe it. We're blessed in the believing of it. Because God will perform those things that he's told us that he will do. He's holpen us. He's grabbed hold of us. He's given us promise. He's helped us. He hadn't just helped deliver us. He's helped us to believe that he'll deliver us. And when I'm not believing the way I should, you know what I should pray, Brother Michael? Holpen me. Holpen me, Lord. Just take hold of me and help me. Because sometimes before I need help, I need to be constrained. Right? And we talked before about what a baby looks like when they get holpen. Right? When they get swaddled, bound up tight, and they're like, okay, this is the way, this feels familiar. This feels womb-like, right? Which means there's something that a baby remembers about being in the womb, which means they were alive, right? So there's some, we're having some life-changing experience in the womb that we might not realize till later on when we're like, I kind of like that womb-y feeling. I like to be held tight, right? I like to be holpen, right? So, as he holpened Israel, as he holpened Zacharias, as he holpened Elizabeth, and as he holpened Mary, let our prayer be that he'll holpen us, that he'll bless us to bless him. We can magnify him with our belief. God bless you.